And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the Zoom line with us today is our good friend, Dr. Peter Hammond. Peter, welcome.
Thank you so much, Dan. Good to be back with Redeemer Broadcasting.
Well, it's nice to have you. And our listeners may not realize it, but Peter, normally we talk with you and you're in South Africa, but today you're in the States. Tell us more.
Yes, so I had a few invitations to come and minister over in Florida first and now in Georgia. And I was down in Melbourne, I was in Orlando, all around the place, the villages and Stanford areas like that. So a whole lot of services and meetings. On Friday, previous week, I actually had the opportunity to see a SpaceX rocket launch, which was very inspiring, unforgettable. Maybe it's fairly normal for the people along the satellite coast over there, but for me in South Africa, we don't see that sort of thing in Africa at all, even though I believe SpaceX is run by a South African entrepreneur, Elon
Musk.
That's
true.
But still, he's not able to get his company organized in South Africa because of the BBEE affirmative action racist policies of the ANC government that requires him to hand over 51% of the shares of his company to some communist comrade of their choosing without them putting any investment whatsoever into his company. So Elon Musk has declined to be part of that racket over there. So I've got to come over here to see that technology. But I must say it was inspiring to go around the Kennedy Space Center. And what struck me, amongst other things, is that SpaceX, a private enterprise, is doing better and more than NASA did. They announced that this was the over 600-and-something SpaceX launch of a rocket so far.
Wow.
It seems to me that SpaceX has done more than Apollo, than NASA, and they're doing it better because they're not only shooting up rockets, they bring them back again. I didn't just see this rocket shoot up into the sky in phenomenal speed. I saw the booster rocket come back with pinpoint accuracy and land on the landing pad, which, you know, it just reminds one of how our prayers are sent to God faster than a SpaceX rocket.
Yes.
And his answers come back even faster. So that's incredible and that's inspiring. So I must say, just seeing that was quite extraordinary, but it did make me question, why do we need taxpayer-funded NASA at all if SpaceX and other private enterprises can do it better and cheaper and easier, more efficiently, without taxpayer involvement?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Just a question again, which it seems everything governments do with taxpayer money is less efficient, more expensive.
Yeah.
Just think of education for one example.
Oh, yeah. It happens that way all the time. I'm thinking of a project here locally where I live in the town. They're trying to replace a communication tower, and they're making a mountain out of a molehill. And, you know, the private enterprise guys, they put up towers all the time. I wouldn't know how to orchestrate it. But, you know, they've got government involved, and so it's going to take them forever.
Well, in South Africa, we've got a failed government in many ways. We have, as you know, probably regular power failures, regular water outages. We have all kinds of failed governments on so many levels, including, most importantly, lack of security. I mean, you pay for it through your taxes for an army and a police force, but they're not there when you need them and they don't protect you. We've got farmers being terrorized. We've got people being murdered. We've got home invasions. All kinds of violent crime on the streets, hijackings of vehicles. People are afraid to let their child cycle to school on their own. They've got to walk them or drive them or escort them to school, or they feel like a derelict parent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a result, we've organized so much private security. There's more people, twice as many people involved in private security in South Africa as there are in the Army, Police, Navy, Air Force combined. So just think about that. You're paying your taxes, but then you've got to pay for a private security company to do what the government is not doing. And we've also got municipalities that are so failing that we now have what they call community improvement districts, or CIDs.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where you pay over and above your rates and taxes for a private enterprise to do what the municipality is failing to do, clearing up rubbish, protecting patrols, and in many cases, improving the parks and the children's swings and slides and all the rest of it. So again and again, we see the private enterprise is doing a better job than the government enterprise.
Yeah.
State enterprise are failing. And one of the biggest examples of that is in schooling. The government schools are so failing on so many levels that private schools and Christian schools and home schools and church schools are now overwhelmingly more successful, and they cost a lot less. Now, of course, your taxpayers' money is meant to be going to the government schools, but it's still so much more expensive. Basically, it works out that per student, it costs the state 12 times more per student than it costs us if we're doing it in a private Christian school.
Yes, yes.
Of course, the private Christian school seems more expensive because it doesn't have tax subsidies. But if you just say cost total divided by the number of students, government schools are the most wasteful, inefficient, and they often seem to be full of crime, corruption, and the students in many cases end up basically functionally illiterate anyway. Mm-hmm. So again, we're sort of questioning, especially myself, who homeschooled four of my children, and we begin to think, do we really need the government for all these things? Now, I must say, before I went to Kennedy Space Center, I had the impression that, well, space exploration is the one thing you need the state for, because there's no way private enterprise could handle space exploration, could they? And then you discover, actually, SpaceX is outstripping Apollo and NASA in so many different areas that you just begin to wonder, do we need the state governments that much at all?
Correct.
It looks to me like they're failing on so many levels. And especially when we're living in a failed state like in South Africa, in Africa, we are often deciding, well, the private enterprise seems to be better. There's another example, Somaliland. We've got a country up in the Horn of Africa called Somaliland, which has effectively seceded from Somalia. Somalia is a failed state. And Somalia, it's just gangsters. And if anyone's seen Black Hawk Down movie, you've got an idea about how Somalia became such a failed state. But today, there's a section of Somalia, the very northern part of Somalia called Somaliland, has actually seceded from this land of gangsters and pirates and has made a working country. Somaliland is a functioning country which exports food, it's recognized now by Israel and United Arab Emirates is practically working with them. Just again showing that even countries now seem to be able to be run by private enterprise without state governments recognized by the United Nations.
It's so remarkable.
It seems the state is failing on so many different levels. And, you know, we are managing to achieve things that governments say that can't be done.
Yes.
I just think in our mission has been able to work in areas that governments say are no-go areas, like the Congo. Right now we've got a Congo River mission where a naval captain who used to work in the South African Navy is leading our Congo River mission. Now, Congo is a total failed state. Failed state, we mean the government can't provide electricity, can't provide water, can't fix the roads. Everything is failed. The only thing that works in the country is corruption. And the government enterprises are there to basically extract money out of you, fines for doing nothing wrong whatsoever. And yet our mission is able to be distributing Bibles, training pastors, involved in leadership training, helping schools, helping clinics, delivering medicines, and being able to see that some basic functions are done. But to do it, we've got to bring our own infrastructure. So literally, there you are in the Congo, which is the largest country in Africa. It's so vast. They say that the hydroelectric potential of the Congo River is so great, you could electrify every home and factory in Africa from the hydroelectric power potential of the Congo River alone. Now,
wow.
Congo is so big, and by the way, the rainforest is so dense, you have creation scientists like Ken Hovind saying they're sure that there's still dinosaurs in the Congo rainforest, and some people have sighted some of them, but it's such a dense rainforest that most people would never see them. So we are in the Congo River area, and we're reaching villages that cannot be reached by road. And you've got governments, you've got the United Nations saying it cannot be done. They can't help the schools. They can't help the hospitals. They can't help the local people. But missionaries can do it. Now, isn't that amazing?
Absolutely. Well, today we're talking with Dr. Peter Hammond. We're blessed he's here in the States. He's not in the studio with us, but he's not as far away as he usually is in Africa. Peter, as you're here in the States, you're meeting with churches and et cetera, I'm interested in your observations. It's helpful to have someone from the outside looking in. What do you see going on here in America? Any good things, any warnings, that sort of thing?
Well, I can see a lot of good things in Florida in particular. You can see decentralization, and you can also see that there's an improvement in the pro-life situation. I joined a pro-life demonstration outside an abortion last Saturday in Florida, yeah, in Orlando. The one thing that's encouraging is most of the counties in Florida have no abortion clinics at all, and they've got a heartbeat law in Florida. No abortions allowed after a heartbeat can be detected, which is 21 weeks after conception, good, 3 weeks. And so I can see the situation has improved since the Roe v. Wade was overturned and the Supreme Court has thrown the abortion legislation back to the local states.
Right.
And Florida's obviously got a pretty pro-life governor and administration. And you can also see that they've got good laws going down to the different counties for homeschooling. It seems very friendly for homeschooling. I know not all states are, but Florida is very positive towards homeschooling. I see they bring about new legislation there to abolish state taxes. They say they're going to tax tourists, not residents. And that's interesting. Of course, federal taxes would still apply, but as far as the state goes, you can understand why many people are fleeing California and moving to Florida.
Yeah, New York,
or other
too.
States that are friendly like that. Yes, I was disturbed to hear what's going on in New York. Apparently, you've got a pretty Muslim, Marxist-orientated mayor who likes the idea of socialism, and he's overtaxing the most productive citizens who are providing jobs. And many people and industries are moving away from New York. So it's always counterproductive to overdo the taxation thing. You chase away the employers, you chase away the investors, you chase away the job creators. Yeah. And people are not in fact, even when I am here in Georgia, there's some refugees from New York who have moved to this farm that I'm on right now. And it just is so clear. People should have realized, but now socialism does not work.
No, it never
socialism
does.
Socialism is counterproductive. It also violates God's law. God's law is clear. Thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods.
That's true.
And socialism is institutionalized envy, and it's legalized theft. And getting the government to do the stealing for you doesn't make it any less a violation of the Lord's command against theft. And the eighth command is clear.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. It really is legalized thievery, and we can't justify it just because we've ordered that the government does it for us. It's just still a great evil. Today we're talking with Dr. Peter Hammond. Normally he's in South Africa when we tie him in, but he's here in the States. I recently went to a place where it was kind of a mock-up. It was an old town in Massachusetts, and it was about the time frame would be the 1830s. And life was so different then, the old Sturbridge Village, they call it. And, you know, they had a blacksmith and, you know, print shop and things like that. And life was just slower. They had horses and whatnot. It was kind of interesting. Not that I want to go back there, but Peter, I think it's good for us to slow down, observe, and enjoy God's creation. Can you speak to that just a little bit?
Yes, certainly. I grew up in Rhodesia, what today is communist Zimbabwe. And Rhodesia was a paradise back in the 70s as I was growing up there. We would be able to walk long distances out of town, seeing all kinds of wild animals. I remember as a 12-year-old boy going on my own with my bush knife and my bush hat and my water bottle, which no Rhodesian boy would go outside home without. And without my parents knowing, I decided I'm going to walk to Kami Ruins, which is 14 miles out of town. And I walked there on my own. And on the way, I saw wildebeest and buffalo and zebra and giraffe and so many other wild animals, not in a game reserve, just outside the city limits. Not only did I have the opportunity to walk there, and we did a lot of walking, but I was able to feel more free, more safe during a war in Rhodesia than I think we do in our cities today.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't let my children walk anywhere without my supervision or being with them today, or my grandchildren.
Yeah.
So just to think how that's changed. And I was brought up where we had time for letters, and we could visit homes, and you didn't need to phone ahead or write ahead or anything to arrange. Guests just dropping by were considered welcome. And so we could just drop around and visit people, and people would visit us. And it was a much more relaxed time, and we were much more human, and we achieved a lot, but it was like there was rest time. Today, you bring your work home. The children don't just do work at school. They bring homework back. And then the parents often end up having to do the assignments because they're so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen the parents asking, what did you get on this and what do you get on that? And these parents are talking about the assignments like they're their own assignments, which they've done for their children. No, what's the point in that? That's not schoolwork. And the kids are meant to be learning something at the school. And meanwhile, what's happening many times, it's so overwhelming that it's undermining family time, church time, and everything else that could be useful to the community. But as someone who got involved in homeschooling, I discovered a lot of what was going on in schools was just keeping people occupied and a crowd control as they move these mobs from one class to the other and one sub together with a bell, artificially stopping fruitful discussion or activity, which was soul destroying for my daughters, who were very much more meticulous and wanted to finish the art project or whatever they were involved in. Mm-hmm. In homeschooling, we could do that. My kids could spend all day and through the night if they wanted to work on an art project, which one of my daughters did frequently. And it was more satisfying to complete the assignment, whereas this disjointed, every 35 minutes the bell rings and you've got to up and pack and move. And we achieved so much more so that our children in home education could do things like ice skating and mountain climbing.
Yeah.
And, of course, scouts and girl guides and going to animal rescue clinics and helping and cleaning out the stalls and brushing the horses and caring for the animals who've been abused, who've been rescued,
mm-hmm.
and getting involved in penguin rescues and cleaning up the beaches and park activities, mountain climbing, target shooting, archery, everything from Irish dancing onwards. So my children thoroughly enjoyed their home education. It was so much more meaningful. And I miss those days. I miss the days when we could
yes.
be involved in so much more. We've gotten too hectic, too rushed. And many people are doing two jobs because they can't afford all the taxes and
that's true.
Rates and taxes and property taxes on. You even get people who've retired. And we know people who've retired and they paid into taxes their whole life. They paid into their pension plans, but their pension plans are now worth nothing. And the taxes on their property. And why should the government tax your property? And the property taxes are so high that they've got to go back to work to afford to stay in the home. Some retired people have had to not only go back to work, but sell their homes and move into a small rental facility,
correct.
An apartment, because they can't afford the rates and taxes. This is part of how government is breaking down our society and ruining people's lives. And grandparents who could be investing in their grandchildren are having to take on a couple of jobs just to pay their taxes. That's not right.
No.
And I think there's so much in our society that's not just unhealthy, but it's anti-Christian and it's anti-human.
We've
got to go back to a situation where one wage earner can care for his full-time stay-at-home traditional wife who's caring for the children and not have every member of the household's got to be out doing jobs or even a second job to be able to pay their taxes and to this. And what are those taxes going to? As Doge pointed out, a lot of USAID was going to foreign governments for weird, bizarre, perverted agendas.
Correct.
And, you know, who wants to fund transgender surgery and trans plays and musicals in strange countries and circumcision rituals in Mozambique and what have you in Guatemala? And what's this got to do with anything? And how's this helping the taxpayer? So we've seen there's so much government wastage. Why are we being forced to pay so much in taxes? And in my country, we now know that 2 trillion rand a year is stolen by government corruption every year.
Wow.
2 trillion.
Oh my.
And by the way, if people want to know what $1 trillion is, if you've got a pallet of $1 trillion notes, that's a pallet's about a ton. and you double stack those pallets, you could fill a football field with $1 trillion in $100 notes.
Oh, dear.
And that's the size of a 747 jumbo jet wingspan and from tail to tip. So a football field full of double stacked pallets, that's how much money our government steals. Actually, it steals twice that much every single year in rands alone in South Africa.
Yeah.
So we've got governments that steal, and the African Union's Task Force on Corruption estimates a full quarter, 25% of the total GDP of Africa stolen by government corruption every year. Now, when you think of that going on, why is the American taxpayer having to fund these corrupt countries all over the world with all kinds of foreign aid? And so where do you get foreign aid in the Bible? Where do you get foreign aid in history?
Yes.
This is bizarre that people are expected to pay for other countries. And foreign aid has been described as taxes going from the poor of a rich country to the rich of a poor country.
Yes. Yes, very true. Today we're talking with Dr. Peter Hammond, and he's actually here in the States, and I think you said you're in Georgia right now.
Yes.
And you're talking with people, and that's very valuable. We can have an exchange of information and the preaching of God's word and that sort of thing. I particularly appreciate your emphasis on home education and or private school education, as opposed to the government and indoctrination centers that are called public schools. In our case, they weren't always as bad as they are now, but they've become extremely harmful. Peter, we've got maybe 2 or 3 minutes left. Any words of encouragement for that homeschooling family or private schooled family? It's very hard, as you mentioned. Many of these families have to take on more than one job in order to make ends meet. Any words of encouragement for that family that's working so hard and is extremely tired?
Yes, well, I've actually had to sometimes take on 2 or 3 jobs simultaneously. But I praise God that my wife and I made some wise decisions. Amongst the different decisions we made was we wouldn't have a TV in our home, but we would homeschool our children. Now, those were 2 of the best decisions we made, and also that I would do whatever was necessary that my wife could be a full-time stay-at-home mother, which she was so delighted in. In fact, when my wife was dying of cancer and chemo, she said to me, her biggest thanks was, thank you for letting me be a full-time stay-at-home mother.
Aww.
Her greatest desire.
Yeah.
And I think it was the best investment, investing in our children. And, you know, life is so short, you don't want to waste it. And I would have been absolutely distraught if we'd gotten to the end of my wife's life on earth and she had wasted her time out on another job working for somebody else instead of investing in her own children.
Yeah.
And so, yes, there's sacrifices, and yes, we went without some things. Although, you know, when you don't have to have the latest television set or buy these different DSTVs or whatever they're called, these cable networks, you save a lot of money right there.
You do.
If you're not smoking, if you're not drinking, you're also saving a lot of money right there.
That's
if
true.
You're involved in a lot of healthy outdoor activities, you're going to spend a lot less on medical care as well. So on all these things, I must say, we made some wise decisions, and I look back and I think, praise God for home education.
Yes.
We shouldn't have gone in with so much fear. I think both my wife and I went in with fear and trembling, thinking, will we be up to it? And as my wife said, you know, will we keep up? And then some other homeschool mother said, keep up with what? You couldn't possibly do as badly as the state schools are doing. You know, you don't have to do much to keep up with the state schools. They've got to do a lot to keep up with you.
Yeah.
Education is teaching your children to think critically. Indoctrination is teaching them what to think. Well, the state schools do a lot of indoctrination, but I think in home education we and Christian private schools, we're doing education. Critical thinking, ask why. Look at the sources. Check out the primary source documents. Never take the official narrative. Question everything. And I think we've produced much more effective adults with our children going through that rigorous home education. And they've got phenomenal textbooks these days.
Yeah.
Praise God for the excellent Christian textbooks available. And I'm even picking up while I'm over here a whole lot of great American textbooks to take back to our
homeschoolers
in South Africa.
Wonderful. Well, I just looked at the clock and we're just about out of time. We've been talking with Dr. Peter Hammond. It's more of a fireside chat. And Peter, I'm amazed how you can talk without notes and get all these facts straight. You put me to shame. I value our friendship. If someone wants to get a hold of you, Peter Hammond, how would they go about doing that?
Our website's www.frontlinemissionsa.org. Frontline Mission SA, short for South Africa. So frontlinemissionsa.org, that's our website. If anyone wants to get hold of me personally, I'm afraid I'm deplatformed and banned from Facebook. So you can only use email now. Peter@frontline.org.za. Peter@frontline, frontline.org.za.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much, Dan.
Well, Peter, may God bless you. Keep up the good work, and I'm so glad you're keeping yourself healthy. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Dan. God bless and keep strong.
Same to you. And dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.